right, here we are with another episode of a show that airs on our flagship 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio, called Bookhound. That's right, brought to you by LaRue Press here in Northern Nevada, locally owned. And what Bookhound does is they'll take three authors and highlight them throughout our entire country so that you, the listeners, as well as the people in the audience here at Reno Town Mall, directly across from the Reno Sparks Convention Center, can get to know these authors yourself and find out about their wonderful books. Let's not take another moment and go to the host of this show, Jan Hermsen.
Thank you, Eddie. Welcome, everyone, to the Bookhound. We're always on the hunt for new authors at LaRue Press. And as you know, Eddie, we offer a number of services to help authors. They can publish, print, and sell their books at LaRue. And in fact, our next guest, Pat Holland Connor, author of Doorways to Significance, has her book available at our shop. And we're very happy to have you here today with us, Pat. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jan and Eddie. I'm happy to be here and happy to share with you.
Great. Can you personalize our show today and tell our audience a little about yourself, your background, where you were born?
Yes, I was born in Houston, Texas, grew up, went to universities in Texas, and then did my graduate studies here in Nevada at the University of Nevada, Reno. I've been in Nevada for quite a while, maybe since the late 80s, and I am a licensed family therapist and substance abuse counselor, and most especially recently, an author of a new book.
Yes, a wonderful book called Doorways to Significance. Can you give us a little background about what prompted you to write that book?
Well, perhaps the beginning for it was the fact that I've always had deep, abiding feelings, and over the years I have been a journalist, but I've done journal writing.
Right.
It's my way of purging and getting information outside myself onto paper so that I can just kind of look at my feelings. Because of that, at one point after a big transformation in my life, I made a decision to write a book, and in about 4 years the book was a book.
So tell us a little bit about it.
All right. It is the book about my life. It is autobiographical. It's a memoir, but it is also a multi-genre book in that it offers some self-help tips, guidance, and tools for those who are interested in changing their lives. My big transformation came when I was 50 years old and I went into the Peace Corps found that I was one with the world. I wasn't separate and different.
And why did you think you were different?
Because when I was born as an African-American child, didn't really understand or know what that all meant, a little girl of color. Didn't understand that, but I had white skin and my family did not.
All right, I'll bet that was tough.
It was tough. It was a lot of questions. Right. And I got a lot of bullying and a lot of lack of acceptance everywhere, in the community as well as in my family.
And not to divulge your age, but roughly what years were those so that our audience kind of understands what you were dealing with?
I'm happy to tell that. But and most especially because of the transformations that have happened, I feel like age is just a number, just like we have names. However, I was born in the late 40s.
Okay. Very good.
You know, speaking of being born in the late 40s, I like you, I was looking in the mirror the other day, and I couldn't imagine who that old man was renting my body.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that terrible?
Well, yes, it is, Eddie, because you're a handsome man, and I'd like to also think that our beauty is really within.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we're all looking so forward to this book. Had to be tough, Jan. Think about it for a moment. Had to be tough growing up, you know, with that particular situation as far as racism back, because it unfortunately still exists to this
very
day.
Yes. Very true.
Yes.
Right. Especially being biracial would be a very difficult thing in those times. I think it still is, but even more so then.
It's true because, you know, even in those days, there wasn't a place to identify that you were biracial. I don't think I ever heard that word
right. Until
I came out to the Northern California area and started living here. And it's like, oh, that is a new word. So I've begun to use it. However, what I most especially think about is that I looked outside for acceptance. I desperately wanted to belong and to fit in.
Right.
Like any other child, like any other young woman or a young woman growing up and even in college. And so the truth is, and without divulging too much about what happened in the book, is that the spiritual transformation happened and helped me to realize that the answers were not outside me, they were inside me.
Right. So when did you first experience a sense of belonging and being a part of the community?
Actually, it was when I went into the Peace Corps and lived in Asia. I was based in Thailand, but then after that, I liked my tour of duty there as an ambassador for the United States, and I went to Kuwait. I lived in the Middle East for 3 years, and then went back to Thailand. And so I guess the real basis for any and all of this was that when I looked at how I was different from, yet how I fit in with, all of those people who were so different from me, I thought, maybe that's what other people felt. Or at least that was kind of a blooming, seeding feeling inside.
Right. So who's going to benefit most from reading your book?
Well, I'd say right now, it's primarily women. That's been my primary audience and the people who are buying the book, but men are also. And generally, they are from about 40, 45 years old through the ages of 60 and 70, because we all can change. The theme of my book is, it's never too late to change the brokenness.
Boy, isn't that true. It's very
wow.
true.
Really well said. And again, it's just amazing to me that we can have, you know, Jan, you're doing such a great job bringing authors of this caliber here to Fox News Radio. We just have to thank you so much, because, again, if you'd be kind enough, give the listeners exactly how they can get their hands on this really great book.
The best way to get the book, of course, is to go to my website, PathHConner.com, and you can pick up the book. But for the same price, you can also get the book, and this is without shipping and handling. You can get the book at LaRue Publishing as well.
Wow. Yep. I was was this, Jan, another LaRue Press book? Because you know what I'm finding more and more as we do Book Hound on Fox News Radio, I'm finding that some of the greatest authors that are out there today who are not just aspiring but are actually starting to really make it in the world, you know, they're coming to LaRue Press.
It's true. And unfortunately, this time around, Pat had already opted for another company at that point. But we've chatted, and hopefully we'll be able to make some deals later on.
I love that.
Exactly.
But Pat, I tell you what, you certainly cannot go wrong with that if you do. Now, from the audience, Jan, would you be kind enough, because if they're not an author, I guarantee you everybody has a friend, relative, or an associate who is or wants to be an author. So the audience wants to know the phone number and contact information again for LaRue Press.
And we are at 775-849-3814. And you can always reach us on the web at www.lrpnv.com.
Pat, thank you for such a wonderful interview here on Book Hound.
Thank you both very much.
Thanks
Happy
for coming,
here.
Pat.
This is Book Hound, and we will be right back.
The American Indian veteran is the most decorated of all minority veterans who have gallantly served in the United States military. It is our dream to see an American Indian soldier stand alongside the white, African American, and Hispanic soldiers currently portrayed in Frederick Hart's famous statue, The Three Soldiers. Call the White House today at 202-456-1111 and ask President Obama to add a Native American soldier to the Vietnam Memorial statue on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. For more information, visit thenavmi.com.
Attention all business professionals in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Are you looking for a new career path? Tired of doing the same boring thing day in and day out for almost no money? Well, Nevada Matters Media has an opportunity for you. We are looking for dynamic, motivated self-starters to join our growing team of marketing consultants. If you desire a position with flexible hours that will give you the freedom to create your own schedule and earn what you are truly worth, then a career with Nevada Matters Media might be for you. If you are professional, motivated, and aspire to be your own boss, email your resume and cover letter to Dave Reichert, Regional Sales Director at dave@nevadamatters.us. That's dave@nevadamatters.us, or apply in person at the Nevada Matters Studios located in the Reno Town Mall across from the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Nevada Matters Media is an equal opportunity employer.
you're approaching retirement and looking for guaranteed income for life, give me a call and I'll personally show you how you can generate an income that you cannot outlive. And I'll show you how to add a bonus to your retirement nest egg immediately. I'm Jamie Cook, owner of MC Squared Wealth Solutions, an independent wealth management firm here in Reno, Nevada. If you're between the ages of 50 and 65, calling MC Squared Wealth Solutions will be one of the smartest decisions you'll make. I'll show you a stable way to grow your retirement dollars tax deferred with a very important benefit. Your premium and interest earned will never be lost due to index volatility. You've worked hard and saved all your life for this moment. Why not protect your money and enjoy peace of mind knowing your income will be there as long as you live? Call me, Jamie Cook, at MC Squared Wealth Solutions today. Toll free, 888-825-3001. That's 888-825-3001, or log on to the website www.mc2ws.com.
All right, we're back now with Bookhound, heard right here on our flagship, 99.1 FM Talk Fox News Radio. Bookhound interviews authors from all across this great nation of ours, coast to coast and border to border, and this show is hosted by none other than the owner of LaRue Press here in Northern Nevada, Jan Hermson.
Thank you, Eddie. Welcome, everyone, to the Bookhound. As many of our listeners know, LaRue Press is a traditional publisher as well as offering services to authors for various self-publishing projects. Our next guest is one of our traditionally published authors, Dana Paul, who writes as D.C. Paul. Dana's the author of a series of books, including Go Girl Friday and her most recent book, Bad Hair Days. Welcome, Dana.
Welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, can you personalize our show for us today and tell our audience a little about yourself, your background, and where you were born?
You got it. I was born in Southern California in Long Beach, but I grew up on Catalina Island and all the way through high school and then college years. And I believe it's given me a very different perspective on life in general.
Boy, I'll bet.
Most recently, I've lived in Reno, Nevada, and moved to Atascadero, California just a little less than a year ago.
Yes, and we miss you terribly.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, it certainly is Reno, Nevada's loss. I have a quick question on Catalina Island. That had to be amazing as a young lady growing up on that place with the Wrigley family.
It's very, very different because you have so many freedoms as a child that our children today don't have, and it was able to allow me to form a good work ethic because I've been able to have a job since I was about 10 years old.
Oh, that's great. You know, talking about your book, the most recent one, Bad Hair Days, but you use a term in the book, Girl Friday, that our younger listeners may not be familiar with. Can you share a little background about the term and why you decided to use it for your book?
Well, of course, I like to put an element of myself in the book, so and using the experiences that I had. And whenever I start a story, I always start with a what-if concept. And the concept for Go Girl Friday happened many years ago, probably longer than 10 years ago, with the whole billboard theme, which I won't give away the plot.
No, don't do that.
But it has to do with our heroine getting employment after a layoff. And part of my regular career includes banking compliance and fraud prevention.
Perfect.
And so I thought combining the two would be very relevant and fun for a story because it's a lot of experiences that I've actually endured in the banking world. So that's kind of where it formed.
Right. You're actually a compliance officer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that's kind of one of those professions that you hear about and never really understand.
People sometimes think it's like a police officer.
Yes.
It's not at all. It's kind of a lawyer type of position, except for that I'm not a lawyer, but you analyze law and legal requirements for applicability into the banking environment. And there are a lot of laws these days to deal with, and they're coming harder and faster.
I was going to say, and you really have a lot to deal with right now with all the changes in banking.
Yes, absolutely.
Your stories are actually set in Reno, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so as you continue to write, your main character, Sarah, is she going to move from Reno since you had to move from Reno?
No, I'm going to leave Sarah Blake in Reno. I'm not going to give away the third novel, as I probably will conclude the series with the third novel, as I have many other things that I'd like to work on, but I really enjoyed my time in Reno and kind of embraced that with my character as she's finding out about herself and going through a lot of life changes, and hopefully it'll be a happily ever after for her there.
Right. And both your books actually have a lot of humor in them. I've actually heard you compared to Janet Ivanovich. It's quite flattering. How do you feel about that comparison?
Well, it's very flattering. The woman is a smashing success with her first book becoming a movie. I'd like to think it's a little cleaner in content than Janet Ivanovich's novel, but I employ humor in my very serious career as a stress reliever, as well as to put others at ease around me, and I feel it's just a very important part of who I am. I don't like to make other people feel comfortable, and I'm hoping that when they read the book that they have a feeling of comfort and then they get to know me through my story as well.
Oh, that's great. So will the series continue? You did allude to the third book. Are you going to have more after that?
I have some other things in the works that I think I'd like to work on, but it would be nice to conclude Sarah Blake's journey from banker to other career options that she's gone through, and maybe even having her stay out of trouble for a little while. Maybe might even have her get married.
Oh, that would be nice.
But I have some other books in the works and some stories, and I'm kind of looking at potentially exploring Christian fiction.
Oh, that would be good.
For future stories as well.
Great. And who do you think is going to enjoy the Girl Friday series the most?
Anyone who enjoys cozy mysteries, humor in mysteries, a little bit of, disaster, a person that's a little bit of a disaster, their own biggest enemy in many ways, and someone who enjoys a good adventure, as Sarah does go through some really good adventures. And she, Bad Hair Days in particular, also documents the numerous incidences that she has that happened to her hair during this process. And 80% of those stories are things that actually happened to me.
I was going to ask you about that. And
yes.
Do you have a favorite scene in Bad Hair Days?
Let's see, in Bad Hair Days.
Maybe your favorite time of hurting your hair.
Well, I mean, the incident that I really liked the best was the one that happened to me when I was in France. And I wound up bringing along with me a little electric converter. And this was back in the days when I had a lot more hair. I was in my 20s. And I put the curling iron in the wall and placed it in my hair, and the electric conversion rate wasn't quite the same, and I wound up melting off a huge chunk of the front of my hair, and have learned tremendously from that experience. So that was one of my favorite things to write about in that story. It doesn't really carry it through. I also like the fact that, unlike the paper that we file here in the compliance world, in the story we get to actually catch some bad guys.
That's great.
We don't get to see that in what we do day to day.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dana. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and we can find your book on www.lrpnv.com.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Bookhound right here in front of a live audience at Reno Town Mall, and heard on Fox News Radio 99.1 FM Talk. If you have a friend, family member, or an associate who wants to get involved, give LaRue Press a call. We'll give you that number when we come right back.
If it's t-shirts, signs, banners, hats, hoodies, sweatshirts, virtually anything that can be printed on, trust the 505 Merchandising Company to handle your order fast and at a fair price. Unlike most silk screening shops, the 505 won't charge a screen setup fee or a design fee, which means more merch for your dollar. If you're a band, a business, a fundraiser, or an event and you need promotional products, call 775-322-0976 for a free quote. For all of your screen printing, embroidery, and graphic design needs, the 505. 775-322-0976.
This is Boone Cutler, author, warfighter, and host of Tipping Point. I want to talk to you for a minute, just 1 minute, and take the time to listen to what I'm saying. The American warfighter today commits suicide at a rate of 18 per day. That's one every 80 minutes. By the time you finish eating dinner this evening, a warfighter will have committed suicide. This is a tragedy. We're losing the greatest of this generation every day at an alarming rate. Currently on active duty, a warfighter commits suicide one every 36 hours. But there are ways to help, and you should help. You should help right now by contacting gallantview.org and find out how you can contribute and help stop, even eliminate, the warfighter suicide rate. This is a tragedy, and you can help right now by contacting gallantview.org. Do it now. Make it happen. All the way.
We are back now with the third and final segment of Bookhound, heard right here on 99.1 FM Talk Fox News Radio and hosted by Jan Hermson of LaRue Press in Northern Nevada. Who do we have next, Jan?
Well, thanks, Eddie, and welcome everyone to the Bookhound. And as many of our listeners know, the Bookhound is always looking for authors with great stories to tell. Some of those stories are fabricated from an author's imagination, but oftentimes the story that they tell is very real, and this particular one is very special. I'd like to welcome Rob Boyd, author of The Streets Don't Love You Back. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, welcome, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Can you personalize our show today? Tell our audience a little about yourself, some of your background, and where you were born?
Well, I was raised and born in the city of Detroit in the Black Bottoms, and used to be in gangs and selling drugs and doing a lot of wild things I shouldn't have been doing, you know. And became a boss of my own crew, and just showed me that I was up for drugs and gang bangs, and until one day I looked up and seen that wasn't for me no more. A lot of my homeboys just getting killed and getting life bitch in prison. So that was kind of a wake up call for me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience when you were 9 years old? That was kind of a turning point for you, wasn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. When I was 9 years old, I witnessed my stepfather get murdered right in front of me and my mother. And that's what really led me to games and selling drugs and different things.
Okay, now, if I understood you correctly, you were 9 years old and you watched him be murdered right in front of you. Is that correct?
Yeah, right in front of me and my mother, yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. So basically, when we're talking about you being born, raised in the toughest, probably the toughest area in Detroit, you know, that's what made you probably street wise or street stupid to begin with, right?
Well, I would say, you know, very street wise, because I've never been stupid. I got involved with a lifestyle that I wouldn't wish upon nobody, you know?
Right.
And I'm blessed to be here.
So you spent a lot of time on the streets. How do you think that you kept from becoming a statistic like other people that you write about in your book?
Well, you know, I really felt like, I say, when I was 25 years old, I up and left Detroit for good. You know, because I was steady trying to change my lifestyle. Like I said, I've seen a lot of my homeboys start getting killed, and a lot of them start going to jail, doing a lot of life bits, and some just not coming home after 20, 22 years. So I just seen things wasn't really adding up, so I was really trying to make a change in my 20s, you know, and thank God I finally reconverted over to that whole change process.
Right. So you've written a book called The Streets Don't Love You Back. Give us some background on that. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Streets Don't Love You Back, that book came from my lifestyle growing up in the city of Detroit. And I just wanted to show kids that you can make a change, you can make a difference in this world. Because I've been there, did it, seen it all. And my wife, Lucinda, is the one who edited my book and redid my whole book for me. And, you know, that's how that process came about, you know. So
right.
I have to always thank my wife for believing in me and sticking with me at what was happening.
So you've had a
process change.
So you've had a good support system from your wife, especially.
I want you to say it again.
I said you've had a great support system from your wife, especially.
Oh, yeah, my wife is a very special lady, and she definitely in her corner, 100%.
And you have a foundation kind of as a result of this book, isn't that right?
Yes, ma'am. Me and my wife have a movement entitled The Streets Don't Love the Back Movement, and our movement educates kids about gangs, drugs, and violence, and I speak all over the country with the movement, me and my wife, and we just do great things, and it's a fulfilling thing when a child walks up to you after you get to speaking and say, hey, I had some things on my mind, but you deterred me from that when I heard your speech. So it's always a rewarding thing when you can help one child, you know what I'm saying, open their eyes up to the destruction of the street world.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Rob. We really appreciate that, and look forward to seeing your book become a bestseller.
Yes, ma'am, without a doubt, and I appreciate y'all having me.
You know, I tell you what, Chan, now, he being a guest and the third and final guest that we've had here today on Bookhound, it just lends me to, once again, people need to know how to get a hold of you, because they can tell their friends, family members, or associates how to get involved with LaRue Press and take advantage of your three different methods that LaRue Press is helping a new author.
Right. Thanks, Eddie. If you'd like to be either a traditional, self-published, or use our imprint, give us a call at 775-849-3814 or find us on the web, www.lrpnv.com.
This has been Bookhound. For information about joining the audience and meeting Jan Hermsen in person, the owner of LaRue Press, give us a call at 775-827-8900. Again, that number, 775-827-8900, and we'll tell you to come join us at the next taping of Bookhound.